Welcome to Family by Design, a weekly radio program brought to you by
Wellspring Christian Family Schools,
the education ministry of WCF Church, located in Sebillesville, Maryland. We hope that today, in some way, we will help you to treasure God's design for your family.
Because the greatest gift a father can give is a life lived for Jesus. And the greatest gift a mother can give is the knowledge of the Lord. Pass him on to your children. He's the gift that keeps on giving. The greatest gift is a life lived for Jesus.
Good afternoon and welcome to Family by Design. I'm Joel Fisher. So glad you've joined us here again today. We're going to be continuing our series of workshop messages from this past school year. Our workshops, sponsored by Wellspring Christian Family Schools, are a combination of a homeschool practicum with spiritual encouragement for our homeschool families. Pastor Gary is going to be giving the first part of the November 2018 keynote message from our workshop, and it's entitled, Know Your Enemy. The series is part of a larger named series called Though I Be Loved the Less from 2 Corinthians. We hope you'll enjoy the message, so take a listen. Here's Pastor Gary.
Workshop number 3 on our series this year, Though I Be Loved the Less. And we're going to be in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 to 6. I do have handouts for everybody, and hopefully that'll be something useful for following along and also perhaps referring to later. The idea is to know your enemy, and if you know anything about family life, we very often find ourselves in stages of emotional intensity where we feel like our family members are the enemy, whether it be our spouse or our children or our parents. But of course, we're not the enemy. I have 59 nieces and nephews, and so I had a chance recently to talk to one of them who has an adult college student just graduated from their homeschool program and off to college, and I just wanted to do a little interview, had a minute to do it, and so I asked the question, you feel like your child is your enemy when, and I got this response, so it is in the bulletin so you can follow along, but I thought I would share it as sort of the backdrop. First comment was, nothing like a kid makes you feel like you're not cool. Nothing like a kid makes you feel like you're not cool. So you feel like your child is an enemy when they have difficult subjects that they refuse even to make the smallest effort to try. You feel like your child is your enemy when you see a positive bent in your child and you say so, only to have them go boring. They were interested in it until you said it was looking like that was one of their interests, and it was not going to be their interest. You feel your child is your enemy, will not talk to you about anything, and you hear them talking to others about everything. So got a follow-up. We didn't have a very successful interview in person due to life, but I got the follow-up text this morning, and it says this. So, a brief story about someone. After someone left for college, I still felt as though we were on very opposite teams, and it was pretty intense. I realized that it was so hard because it's been that way for a long time. About a week after she left, a family, friends of ours, lost their mom. Their kids ranged from age about 14 to 21. 4 days later, another family, more friends, lost their 21-year-old daughter. Someone and I both knew her well. It was through their funeral service and their family's testimonies and my own hard time with someone that I realized I need to be reminding myself daily that He is God, He is good, I will praise Him, and I will trust Him. I almost have to chant it to myself under my breath or in my head. Silly, seems simple. I'm not so sure it's changed any circumstances, but it takes the fear of how I'm going to get through this moment with whichever of my kids. I know, you thought they were all angels, being mine and all. Whichever of my kids is rough right now, and that the fear that I'm messing them up forever, or that they will turn on me or the Lord, points me to trust and surrender my kids and my fear. Mamas need pep talks and to be pointed to Jesus. So that was sweet. It's important to realize we all need comfort and cheering along the way. So this morning in our workshop, number three in the series, I've left the background just for your own personal reference, but we're not talking about personal enemies in the ranks. We're talking about an adversary, a thief, who's coming to steal and to rob and to kill and destroy. But Jesus came to give us life. So there's the battle. Are we going to be robbed or are we going to find life? So the verse on the bottom of the screen that's enlarged is from Isaiah, and I left off the passage. It's Isaiah 52. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. Now, of course, I always knew that a standard was a flag, a battle flag, a flag you use to encourage people to head into the fray. So when I looked up the Hebrew word for it, I was shocked to realize not one single reference in the entire Old Testament did it mean flag. In every single case, it meant fleeing or a place to flee to. And so it just really, really caught my heart, and I recognized the significance that you and I have in our need. We're not expecting it, and today all of a sudden something comes out of the clear blue and comes upon us. And we at first are terrified, and we need a place to flee to. And it's important that we understand, in the way God has ordered it and structured it, that those of us who are called to leadership, and if you're a mom and a dad, grandma or grandpa, you're called to leadership in your home, no question about it. If you're called to leadership, you need to be that place of refuge so that as you find yourself in an unexpected circumstance, you know who to flee to, and also you're an example to your children of not only how to flee, but also where to flee to. So we're in 2 Corinthians 4 this morning, and of course we're reminding ourselves that we're all a bunch of crackpots who are much more beautiful when the glory of God shines through our cracks than we were before we had cracks. That's an encouraging point of reality. So verse 3... 2 Corinthians 4, verse 3. But if our gospel be hid, that is veiled, covered, if our gospel be hid, it is hidden to those who are lost, and whose minds the God of this world has blinded because they believe not. Now, that's the most difficult concept to keep in our heart as we're in the middle of an ordinary, busy, hectic day, that we're dealing with a constant attack by Satan to blind the eyes of those who believe not. Because as soon as you blind their eyes and they can't see the hope, what do they see? Well, they see the natural, and they stand up and stiffly protest anything that would endanger what they view as safety in the natural. So we have this battle. Who's going to get to reveal? Who's going to get to present? And yours and my panic isn't going to do the trick. We're not going to be clear when we suddenly are overcome with frantic panic. So a couple things here. I have a couple comments for each verse. I've left them on the page for you. Pray. You're in the middle of a circumstance, pause long enough to pray. That sounds simple, but it's our lifeline. You're always in a situation that you know less about than God does. And so it's always helpful to get advice from someone who knows more than you do in the situation. And you pray, and you seek his face. Your child is born in a lost condition and needs a savior. Only the gospel can save him, not your frantic efforts. I know that's hard for us parents to grasp, but our frantic efforts don't do anything to save our children. But they may be used by Satan, part of that blinder, to get them to shy away. They don't understand. And so we need to pray, because it's not a battle about that person and our emotions. It's a battle about, is God going to grant them eyesight to see in that moment? Pray. Second point, teach. Your child does not naturally understand. This is one thing that's really helpful to have in mind. A child doesn't naturally come up with the right answer. They're going to naturally come up with an answer that satisfies the feeling and the appearance of safety that the natural world exudes. And so they're going to be naturally clinging to the comfort and the hope that the world around them offers. And so it's going to be hard for them. That you just can't snap that away from them. They have to learn the process of trusting the Lord in their own life. So you're called to teach. This world's culture thinks that by using the native logic of unbelief, thinks by using the native logic. So do your kids, just like you, they must be born anew. Number three, believe. Faith opens eyes, unbelief closes eyes. Now you might think, well, of course I believe. But in factual reality, we're called to walk our life from faith to faith, from faith to faith. So every step of your life is a battleground of faith, if you please. It's a step of faith in the right direction, or it's a step of disbelief in the wrong direction. Whatever you do that's not based on faith, well, Romans 12 says it's sin. Romans 14. But whatever you do that's not based on faith, it's based upon human natural understanding, and that's just not good enough. Now, I have a little quote from John chapter 9 on the screen. It says, Jesus said, "For judgment I came into this world, so that those who do not see may see, and those who see may become blind." Those of the Pharisees who were with him heard these things and said to him, "We're not blind too, are we?" Jesus said, "If you were blind, you would have no sin. But since you say we see, your sin remains." It's probably the most difficult balancing act that a parent has. We want to cheer our children on as they grow, as they conquer new heights of knowledge and skills and understanding, and we see them overcome obstacle after obstacle in the natural world. It's a wonderful place for us to cheer them on. But in spiritual reality, if we only measure our success by overcoming the natural environment around us, then we haven't learned what it means to walk by faith. Walking by faith means that I have to find myself at a place where my need drives me to the Savior, who's going to meet that need. Our idea of perfection is to have all the needs met, to function perfectly. And the Lord's idea of process is always make sure for my dear children there's some form of trouble or need they have, so they'll have an occasion today to come to me, wholly and sincerely, so that I might be their God and they might be my dear children. Next, verse 4. Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is in the image of God, should shine unto them. So, here's an interesting battleground. Unbelief blinds us, so the truth of the gospel doesn't reach our eyes. The light of the glorious gospel can't shine unto someone who's clinging firmly to their personal confidence. Jesus said, I didn't come to call the righteous. I came to call sinners to repentance. And so the spiritual reality is that your children need the light of the gospel shining unto them in a moment. And you can be a vessel to bring that light to them. From 2 Corinthians 10, bring every thought captive to obedience in Christ. You're going to have to stop in the middle of a circumstance and find out where Satan's blinding the eyes. What are you thinking? What are you afraid of? And those sometimes are huge, big fears. And Satan knows how to dress up fears into huge monsters. It's like he uses the light to cast a long dark shadow of confusion, and he gets us to respond to the shadow instead of to the one who's throwing out the light and looking at the source of light. Bring every thought captive. What are you thinking? If you don't know what your child's thinking in the middle of a circumstance, then you really don't know the battle, the blinding battle that Satan is bringing to them at that point. So you can help them see what faith looks like by understanding their fear and then representing their fear in light of the truth from the Word of God so that they can trust the Lord at the point of their fear. Second point, let the glory of your faith be visible. Now this is really imperative. You love your children, and like that niece of mine, nagging worry and fear, that I'm going to do something that permanently messes my kid up. It's going to cause them to reject me or reject the Lord. That's a really natural battlefield that we have. And yet, in spiritual reality, I must have the first victory. I must become the place of refuge. I must be able to comfort myself and to know that God's the one in charge. When your children see that you're resting in God, they're going to have that. Who knows when the Lord might bring it to their memory at the right time. But be a memory. Be a memory of someone who let the glory of your faith shine freely to your kids. So they remember. They remember what you said. They remember what you did in that difficult, horrible time. It's going to be their heritage. It's going to be what they remember in those dark hours. The Holy Spirit has a way of bringing that to the forefront. You must exhibit your faith as the first step of teaching faith. I know it's ridiculous, but I'll say it anyway. How could you ever teach your child about faith if they never see you have faith? And I remember that funny story from the Pineapple series. What was that guy's name? Thank you. Yeah, Otto Koning series. And he tells this really humorous story about the natives, and he's trying to tell them about what it means to be a Christian. At the same time, they're stealing him blind, and he's having so much emotional trauma with their sin nature overrunning, spilling over his family and his garden and what have you. And one day he has personal victory, and he surrenders his pineapple garden to the Lord. Says, Lord, these are your pineapples. If you want to have the natives steal your pineapples, you just go right ahead. And the native said to him, Otto, have you become a Christian? Oh, I'm sorry. The punchline, the earlier punchline was, when he was telling them about a Christian, they said, oh, I hope I get to see one someday. As if the missionary is not. And moms and dads, that's really how it is in the trenches of your home. You can talk about faith all you want, but do your children see what it looks like? Now, I'm not saying that we don't get stricken with that immediate awareness that Satan's coming in like a flood. But we have to pay attention in our own spirit so that we hoist that flag of faith and say, nevertheless, I'm going to trust him. This is how you manifest the truth to the unbeliever's conscience. You show it forth. We talked about manifestation last workshop. Your child needs to see you believe Christ in your life circumstances. Next verse, 5. You know what? I'm not reading the titles on top. Know your enemy, it's not your child. Know the battle, it's getting light through. And know your enemy, excuse me, going forward again. Know your master, it's not about you. When you invest your whole being into someone, it's so easy to feel so invested that you feel like it's a judgment on you. It's a report card, how your children respond, whether you were a good parent or a bad parent. And as soon as we slip into that mistake, we suddenly become part of that blindness that our children can't see the glory of God, because we don't think this way. We don't know that we're doing it, but we're really wanting them to see the glory of their wonderful mom and their magnificent dad, who are just doing so many wonderful things for them. I think it's one of the most incredible head shakers in the world that parents live such sacrificial lives for their children, and their children, by and large, advance well into adulthood before they even realize what kind of sacrifice was given on the behalf of their love, and to not be grateful, to not even recognize it, and to not say thank you. But if we're living for the thank you, get another business. Go into another trade. Because being the servants of the Lord is not about you. Verse 5 says, we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves slaves for Jesus' sake. Now that's hugely, hugely powerful. But the first line, I just want to make one quick comment. How do you preach yourself? What does it look like when you're preaching yourself? If you're your child, what are they perceiving when you're preaching yourself? I remember when I was a parent of young ones, and I would usher the edict of dad, and one of my children would say to me, who said so? And I would stand up straight, I said so. And I learned pretty quickly that wasn't a very valid answer or a very spiritually nurturing answer. And I discovered the amazing thing that if it was my idea against my child's idea, wow, I couldn't believe how smart my children could be to argue me and whittle me back into the corner until you're like, not sure where to go. And you need that banner raised up. But what an incredible, powerful release of spiritual energy would take place when I would remember that, oh, wait a minute. I'm not doing this because I want it to be done. I'm doing this because I fear God, and I want to execute my job as parent well, and so I fear God. And so that's so imperative. Number one, fear God. You are not the Lord. They're not the Lord of your home. Now, if you can practice that, not being the Lord of your home, recognizing God is Lord, then when you're able to read that scripture and exhort your children, you tell them, well, the Bible says, obey your father and mother in the Lord, for this is right. So there's something about obedience that relates to the Lord. So I want you to recognize that as dad, I fear God, and it's about him. And so because I fear the Lord, I'm going to do what God asks me to do, and I'm going to take steps that he commands me to take because I fear him and because I love you. And when you're able to exhibit that authority comes from God and it's not about you, you raise the bar, but you also raise the eyes. And they're looking past the frail human vessel, which is you and me. They're looking up to the perfect Heavenly Father who does all things well and who uses sorrow, difficulty, tragedy, and even dumb parents to accomplish his will in the lives of his children. Number two, obey. You are the Lord's slave. So you're in a battle with your child and you want them to obey. You have no idea how powerful it is when your plea for your child to obey springs from your heart's desire to obey God. You want to do his will. You want to bring God's perspective into the formula, into the mix, into the moment. And it's your obedience to God. Many times when I would finally have to resort to the rod, I would say, I don't know why God chose spanking. I just know that he said to. And I love God and I fear God, and so we're going to trust God. And we would pray a prayer of faith that God would somehow use this tool, whatever.
Well, with that thought, we come to a conclusion of today's broadcast, but we'll pick it right up here next week as Gary brings the rest of this message, Know Your Enemy. It's part of our 2018-19 workshop series for Wellspring Christian Family Schools. If you'd like to hear any of the previous broadcasts in the series or listen to any of our other messages or conversations or hear some of our fun guests we've had over the years on this program, go to wcfs.edu and click on the resources tab. That will take you to our audio vault and you'll be able to find all of our previous broadcasts there. They're available for download. You can share them. You can listen to them in your car. You can take them anywhere. We are very excited to be having a new guest on the program in the next couple weeks. Her name is Rachel Wilson. She is has a very unique and exciting story of ministry as she has been on the mission field helping homeschool families who are missionaries. And the Lord has really used Rachel in a very specific way. So we're excited about having her on the program. That's going to be coming up in the next couple weeks. So we hope you will join us for that. If you have any questions about the program or would like to let us know how it's been impactful to you, or are there things that you'd like to hear us talk about or discuss, please give us a call at 301-241-2072, or you can drop us an email at radio@wcfs.edu. That's radio@wcfs.edu. Well, on behalf of everybody here at Wellspring Christian Family Schools and Family by Design, I'm Joel Fisher, hoping that you will join us next week right here on Family by Design, where we help you treasure God's design for your family.
Thanks for spending your time with us today here at Family by Design. Join us every Sunday when we will continue this wonderful journey, helping you to treasure God's design for your family.
'Cause the greatest gift a father can give is a life lived for Jesus. And the greatest gift a mother can give is the knowledge of the Lord. Pass him on to your children. He's the gift that keeps on giving. The greatest gift is a life lived for Jesus.